Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, December the 3rd, day number 337 of 2013. Tonight we're going to do our annual Cuban food show for the holidays, for Christmas, for the New Year. We might even get something about Thanksgiving in tonight. But we're going to be chatting with two of our favorite ladies of the Cuban kitchen, Marta Verdes Darby and Sonia Martinez. Sonia will be joining us a little bit later, but we're going to be asking these ladies for some recipes for the upcoming holidays. You know, if you know anything about Cubans, you know that Cubans do a lot of partying in the month of December. Usually around the 15th of December, the parties begin. So the parties obviously have to have food. And there's a great, there's a lot to eat from the Cuban kitchen. And tonight we're going to be hearing from Marta, as well as Sonia. We'll be hearing about some of their ideas, some of their recipes for the upcoming holiday season. We're also going to be hearing from our friend Frank Burke. You may remember Frank. He's a great friend of our show, and the last time the ladies were on, well, actually two times ago when the ladies were on, they gave Frank some recipes to make churros, and Frank is going to be updating us tonight on how the churros are doing in Wisconsin. That's where Frank lives. So we'll get an update tonight from Frank and on the churros. So all of that tonight as we look at Cuban food for the holidays. We're also going to be hearing from Betsy Gonzalez in Miami. She's going to be telling us about a wonderful project that she has going on in Miami called Manos Solidarias, and she's going to be giving us a quick report about that program in just a minute. We'll be putting Betsy on for just a second before we get to the ladies and we start talking Cuban food. Just a quick update on my book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. You can get the book at Amazon. You can go print. You can go Kindle. It's available in both formats in the Amazon, or you can go to our website, Cubanos in Wisconsin, and get yourself a copy of that book, CubanosInWisconsin.com. One of the benefits of getting the book from our website is that you can have the book dedicated. So if you would like to have the book dedicated by me, if you've got a Cuban friend, maybe a Cuban mother-in-law, maybe a Cuban neighbor, maybe a Cuban co-worker, somebody you would like to give a gift about Cuba, well, you can tell us, and we'll be more than happy to dedicate the book to that person right there. So CubanosInWisconsin.com, check it out. Please check it out. A lot of people like the book. A lot of people like the book, and I hope you become one of the many who like it. Let me say hello to Betsy Gonzalez, who's checking in. There she is. Ooh, I just cut her off. I apologize, Betsy. I just cut you off. I apologize for that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Betsy Gonzalez from Miami, and then we'll be talking to Marta about Cuban food. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. It looks like we're having a problem connecting with Betsy, but I can do, let me see. No, she's not on yet, but I can tell you about her program very quickly. Manos Solidarias, this is a great project. She's helping people in Cuba who need different kinds of things, and you can get some information over at the website or also on Facebook, Manos Solidarias. Let me see if she's on right now. Hi, Betsy. Betsy, are you on? I don't know. I cannot hear you, Betsy. Can you hear me? Something's wrong with Betsy's connection. But anyway, Manos Solidarias, if you can check him out over at Facebook. Let me say hello to Marta Verdes. How are you, Marta?
Hi, Silvio. So nice to talk to you. I've missed you.
Yes, my pleasure as well. You know, it seems like when, you know, I know it's time to talk to you when Christmas time is rolling around. So what a better time to talk to you than around the holidays. We like to do it a couple of times a year. Now, how is your mother? How is your 99-year-old mother doing?
I'll tell you, we just had our Thanksgiving, of course, like everyone else last week. And my mom was here. And she's 99 and a half years old, because in February she celebrates, God willing, her 100th birthday. So she was here. She was just the life of the party. She says, make sure you tell everyone that they need to really celebrate this day. And I so appreciate that about her. She's got such a good spirit still.
Well, you know, we have a date with her for her 100th birthday.
Yes, and you know what? She won't let you forget it either, Silvio.
No, well, I'm not going to forget it. So all I need to know is that, you know, we had her on last year. We did a show with her for her 99th birthday, and I'm looking forward to number 100. So you tell her she's on my calendar.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Please do. Please do. As I mentioned, we're having a problem connecting with Betsy down in Miami. She was going to be telling us about Manos Solidarias. This is a great project that she's working on. And if we don't make contact with Betsy, then what I'll do is I'll just tell you to go to her Facebook page, Manos Solidarias, and check it out. It's a great organization, and you need to be helping many of the people in Cuba who really need some help. Well, Marta, we're also going to be hearing from Sonia Martinez a little bit later. She's running a little late. We'll be hearing from her a little bit later. We're also going to be hearing from Frank Burke, who's going to give us a churro update. How do you like that? You got him into churros.
That makes me so happy, Silvio, because I remember the last time that we spoke, I think it was maybe about 6 months or a year ago when we drank, and he said, you know, that was just such a big challenge to him to make those churros Cuban style. So I hope to hear a good report from him.
Well, I can assure you of this, that Frank is the only non-Cuban in Wisconsin who's making churros. I can assure you of that. I can assure you of that. We'll have him on in a couple of minutes. I am really dying to hear what Frank has to say. Of course, Frank is a great friend of our show, and he's going to be joining us a little bit later. But we want to hear from you about Cuban recipes. But before we do, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this this blog, and you even wrote a book, and you make videos. I mean, you're like the Cuban lady when it comes to Cuban food.
Thank you. I was born in Cuba, and my family left in 1961, early when the revolution was taking hold, and we left. My immediate family is all, they're all here in the United States. And about 7 years ago, I started thinking, you know, I have such great stories about growing up Cuban, and I still keep a lot of our Cuban culture, our heritage, our music, our food. And so I thought maybe other people might be interested. So I started writing a blog, and it's called My Big Fat Cuban Family. Well, now it's become quite popular. Apparently, there are lots of big, fat Cuban families out there. And people just seem to enjoy my stories. Because I live in South Orange County, which is between Los Angeles and San Diego, if you know California, there's not many Cuban restaurants in my area. So I'd be craving Cuban food, and I would just have to cook it. Or I'd call my mom and say, how do you make this? Or pull out the old Nitza cookbook, you know. And that's sort of my story there. I wrote a Cuban cookbook. It's called My Big Fat Cuban Family Cookbook. And there's a link to it on my site. It's not on Amazon, not yet. But people seem to relate to the things that I have to share.
Yes, they do, and that's because what you share is so much fun and so tasty. That's the part that I like, you know. And it's not just the information; it's the fact that it tastes so good. As I mentioned, Sonia Martinez will be joining us a little bit later. She's running late. She's calling in from Hawaii, so different time over there. But she will be joining us with her recipes as well later on. Well, I thought we would begin tonight, Marta, by having you share with us a recipe for Christmas. You know, Christmas coming up, those who are familiar with the Cuban tradition, we celebrate December 24th evening, something called Noche Buena. That's when we have our big meal. That's a tradition that most Cubans have continued in the United States. You normally have the big meal on the 24th, and then in our case, and many of our listeners, then they go to the midnight mass after that to do that part of Noche Buena. So tell us about one of your recipes for the upcoming Christmas holiday. What are you going to be cooking for your family?
Okay, well, the absolute mandatory is thing to have at your Noche Buena table is the lechon asado, which is a roast pork. Now, I'm so conflicted because I love how the roast pork, when you cook it all day in the caja china, and for your listeners who don't know, a caja china is a type of a barbecue, so that you don't have to dig a hole in your backyard to bury the pig and cook it. It's you put in coals and you put in your pig, that's you squeeze marinade into it, and then it cooks slowly most of the day for like 5 or 6 hours. And it's a beautiful thing that comes out of there. Now, again, I live in a very suburban area, so that's probably not going to be happening, but I am going to make the lechon. But, Sylvia, I'm going to confess to you and your audience that I cheat. I make it in the crock pot with mojo criollo and lots of onions and lots of garlic, and I don't tell anybody, and they always rave about it. So that recipe is on my blog and on my Big Fat Cuban Family.
Well, I think for most Cubans, pork is the big, you know, sort of like turkey for Thanksgiving,
right.
You know, for pork for Cubans. Now, what else do you make with that pork? Well, what does the rest of your table look like?
That's our very classic Cuban menu. I should mention that for Thanksgiving, we're in California, and we decided early on that we were going to have traditional American food for Thanksgiving. So my family cooks the turkey and mashed potatoes and green bean casserole, all of that. Of course, we have flan and pastelitos for dessert. But I know that in Miami they make a Cuban-style Thanksgiving and, you know, maybe stuff the bird with something, you know, like moros y cristianos, you know, black beans and rice, but I don't do that. But for Christmas, we will have like the typical Cuban side dishes, which are white rice and black beans and yuca con mojo. Now, I dare you to translate that last one.
No, you cannot. Some of these dishes cannot be translated. It's some of our friends who don't speak Cuban, you're just going to have to trust us.
So the yuca is like a root vegetable. It sort of has a potato-like texture, although it's a little more fibrous than a potato, but it is a root, just like a potato. But really, it is a vehicle to deliver the best garlic sauce ever invented by man. So that's mandatory on our plate.
Right. Now, there is, getting back to your mother for a second, I just wanted to tell the audience, because your mother was quite a cook herself, wasn't she, when she was younger?
Yes, she absolutely was. And one of the traditions that we keep, just in her honor, she doesn't cook anymore. She's 99 and a half. She's learned that she can boss us around just fine, and we're okay with
right.
it. She just puts on her tiara and says, do this. So we like to make a flan, And she always called herself La Reina del Flan, the Queen of Flan. So she would always make the traditional Cuban flan, which was our dessert for Christmas. But and this story is on my blog also under the flan recipe, but it was fascinating. She always tells us that my grandmother, her mother, had a wood-burning stove, but she would make a perfect flan every single night for my grandfather. And this, we're talking about, you know, 1800s, late 1800s. So that story always fascinates me, that my grandmother could, you know, cook and bake and make amazing desserts in a wood-burning stove.
Well, I remember from one of our previous shows that you said your mother would always make something for your father every single night, or was it your grandmother? I don't remember.
It was my grandmother.
That every single night, yeah, she would make like flan or coffee for your grandfather every single night.
Yes, and it was the flan, and so that's the story that's just become the legend. So the flan,
yes,
had to be table, and she made it in a tin can, like in a tin coffee can. And pardon my nostalgia, but I will make a regular flan, and then I also make a little flan in a tin can, just in honor of that, in honor of my grandmother,
yes,
doing that. But
yeah,
I don't have
and
to
those are the...
struggle.
No, yeah, obviously, yeah, it's a little bit easier now than it was back then, but of course, you were talking about your blog. We have a link to your blog in the show information for any listener who wants to click on that and go to your blog. One of the things in your blog is that you have a lot of these stories about Cuban food and some wonderful videos, and there's even a video of your mother, right, which I find,
yes,
so amusing. Yeah, there's even a video.
My mother's always learning. She's a fascinating person. She is still,
yes,
every day, she reads voraciously still. She reads 4 or 5 books at a time, and she always,
wow,
wants to learn whatever, the newest thing. And she's very curious. She always has been. And so she was asking one time, because I would pull things up for her. She goes, can you find this on there, on the internet? Can you find this? And I would pick up photos. You know how it is when you're doing a search. So then she says, well, how does that work? And I said, well, there's Google, and you go to Google and you type in what you're looking for, and they you know, do the search, and then the other search engine is called Yahoo. Well, she kind of took this information, and she was describing it to her big brother, who, rest in peace, he lived to be 101. She said, well, she was describing this, but she called it, there's one named Google and the other one is Yayo, instead of Google and Yahoo. So I said, I need to videotape you doing this. This is kind of classic. So I videotaped her, and it's on YouTube, and it's called Google and Yayo. And it's my mother explaining how the search engines work. It's kind of fantastic.
No, your mother has company, because my mother, even to this day, still, you know, for Halloween, she goes trick-or-treat. She doesn't say trick-and-treat. She says trick-or-treat. So I think, yeah, that's right. I think all of us enjoy that. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bring Frank into the show, and Frank,
excellent,
is going to give us a churro update. So, Frank, how are you, Frank?
Okay, can you hear me, Silvio?
Absolutely great. How's everything up in Wisconsin? I'm sure it's colder than Texas.
Well, it's a bit colder than Texas. We had a dusting of snow this morning, and then some sleet. I would say it's in the 30s, going to go down into the 20s, but nowhere near as bad as last year, or rather last week, which is the start of hunting season. And it, in the western part of the state, it got down to about 6 degrees. So it was cool.
Well, that's good churro. That's good churro weather, Frank, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Well, Frank, you have to tell us. You have to tell Marta about your churro. Give us a churro update. You're our correspondent, our churro correspondent tonight.
Please.
Well, Marta, I do confess, I tried to make churros
yes,
last year. But, you know, the problem is, if you've never tasted the real thing, you don't know if you're doing it right.
Okay, I hadn't thought of that. That makes
well,
sense.
You know, not only that, but you're really not sure if you're using the right ingredients. You know, when I was a kid, my mother had a recipe that was given to her, I think, by a Hungarian lady for cheesecake. And it was the most delicious, light cheesecake. You would put a knife through it and it would just go, you know, as it cut. Mm-hmm. It was that light. And we loved it. And then she gave me the recipe years later, and I could never make it. So I went back to her and I said, Mom, what am I doing wrong? She said, come on, we'll make it together. And it still didn't come out right. Somehow they had changed the cream cheese or one of the ingredients, and, you know, there was no way of knowing, but you couldn't retrieve it. And I think that's one of the great problems, because I don't know, I've never had churros, as now the churros I made were okay, I guess. I mean, you could get them down.
Well, Frank, I have an idea. I have an idea of how to settle this. You make some churros, and you fly Marta to Wisconsin, and she'll taste them for you.
This pleases me. I love this plan.
Yeah, right.
Well,
so she'll come.
That would work.
She'll do door-to-door service, and she will try your churros. But Marta, how would he know? Obviously, that's a very good point. You know, I hadn't thought about that. If you've never tasted it before, you don't know how to appreciate it. But what are some of the ways that Frank would know that he's on the right track, Marta?
If you get more sugar on your hands when you're eating it than you do, then you leave on the plate, then for sure you're almost halfway there then, Frank. It's just a sugary mess. It really, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know
all of that.
Yes. How did you do with your churros?
Well, you know, I have to ask you, what was the correct oil in which to fry them? I was using a typical, like a canola oil. I almost have a feeling they probably originally would have been fried in lard.
Probably, yes. You're absolutely right. I don't fry in lard myself, but I go vegetable oil, and I don't prefer canola oil. Maybe that's again, you know what, Frank? You're just going to have to fly me out, and I will do the case test.
Yeah, well, that's one solution. Or maybe, Frank, if you've got some business in Southern California, you can visit with Martha's family and share one of her churros, and you can get to meet her mom as well.
That would be terrific.
You have an open door here. You're always
well, welcome. Thank you. And likewise, you, Marta. And in fact, let me tell you, you know, many years ago, well, I can tell you right off, 20 years ago, my wife and myself bought an old farmhouse in the western part of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And it was built about the turn of the century. There's nothing fancy. It's a very plain old farmhouse. But we decided to fix it up as it was when it was new.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have two stoves in the kitchen. One is a 1907 gas stove. It's an Eclipse stove. And the other is a wood stove. So when you were talking about the flan in the wood stove, I thought to myself, wow, yes, absolutely. But the fascinating thing about a wood stove is that and why it would be actually not impossible to do a flan is the fact that you can get it to a particular temperature. What you cannot do with a wood stove is, you know, what a lot of modern recipes are, start with it at 400 degrees and bring it down to 350. That ain't going to happen, period.
Of course.
Well, Frank, I'm going to ask you to hang around with us if you've got time, because Sonia is going to be joining us, and I know she wants to hear your churro. update as well. And I was going to ask, by the way, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Frank. Were you finished with what you were saying?
No, I was just going to say, I don't know that it's much of an update.
Well, it is an update. It's your first time. I mean, there's always a first time to try judo. But, Marta, I was going to ask you about Thanksgiving. And by the way, for many of our Cuban listeners may remember that when we first came to the United States, we couldn't say Thanksgiving. You know, our parents couldn't say Thanksgiving. So they thought Thanksgiving was actually the name of a saint.
Yes.
So they thought it was
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Right, San Giving, and we kept thinking it was the name of a saint, named Giving, and all of our Cuban parents thought, gee, what a nice group of Americans, you know, they celebrate a saint on San Giving. So, what was your meal for San Giving, Marta? Fill us in.
Again, we do a traditional American meal. We already have a third and fourth generation in my family, and it's kind of a treat. My sisters, I'm not the only cook here. I'm the youngest of six. I have a brother who I think you met in Texas, and I have four older sisters,
yes.
And they are amazing cooks. And so we go with traditional American food. We have the turkey and the mashed potato and yams and green beans and all that sort of thing. So we don't do the traditional Cuban, actually. I don't know if that's a surprise to you, but
yeah. I think a lot of people are probably more like you in that sense. I think a lot of people probably do more of the American version. Now they may throw in some black beans or yuca. They may throw in some of that, but I think a lot of the Cubans now have gone for the turkey. So now, is there a Cuban way of making a turkey?
You know what? Yeah, I think that there is. I have friends, at least in Miami, who use like black beans and rice and that sort of thing. They stir with the sofrito in order to make their stuffing. So I think that's a very regional thing for people in Miami, but not for us any longer. I'm in California. So.
Right. No, I think you're right. I think the further you are from Miami, probably the more Americanized your Thanksgiving appears to be. Now, one of the things that Cubans do in December is that they have a lot of parties. So what are some of the other recipes or some of the other things that you cook in December in preparation for the big meal, for small parties or for other kinds of events, Marta?
Well, I'll tell you, coming up, and we're actually doing it this coming weekend, is we make a homemade eggnog with rum in it, of course. We only use it as a preservative, but it's called crema de vie, like the cream of life. And it's really one of my favorite things. I have a ritual I do with my children, and we just make vats and vats of it. And that's what we give as gifts to our friends and neighbors. Instead of baking cookies, we make crema de vie, creme de vie.
Which is like a Cuban eggnog? Would that
eggnog.
Be the...
That's exactly right. It's a Cuban
eggnog.
How do
you make it, Marta?
Again, the recipe is on my blog, specifically, if people are looking for it, under Cuban Recipes. And I start off with, it takes eggs, and I use evaporated milk and condensed milk. And then I use the egg yolks. A couple of cups of sugar. So you've already got the sweetened condensed milk and sugar and some water and vanilla, and then we put rum in as the preservative. And slowly dissolve the sugar in water so that just you have a sort of sugar water. And then we blend the egg yolks together with the condensed milk, and we add that into the rest of the sugar water mix. We just mix it slowly so that the eggs don't cook. But it's kind of, when people taste it and they think, oh, you know, I really don't like eggnog. I hear this a lot. I really don't like eggnog. So I say, you know what? I appreciate that. Please just taste this, and then let's have this conversation again. And they taste the homemade eggnog, and they just flip. This is the best thing I've ever had. The rum is very mild. You have, you know, it just adds a bit of warmth, and it doesn't overpower it. So it's a big win in my family. So we're starting to make our creme de vie this weekend, actually.
Now, that sounds like a French...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
White rum or dark rum?
The white rum. The dark rum gives it, it detracts from the flavor, actually. We've tried it both ways, and the white rum is actually makes it. We have a local wine shop, and I'll just go in there, and they have empty wine bottles. And they'll just give me their empties without, they don't even charge me for them. So we wash out, we have this whole an assembly line. We wash out the wine bottles, a couple of days, soak them, and then we make the creme de vie, and we go to a craft shop, and you can buy corks. And so we cork it, and I make pretty tags for them. And boy, are we, you know, people are happy to see us coming when we have parties.
Do you serve it cold or warm or at room temperature?
I serve it cold.
Okay.
It tastes really good when you make it, but that is, you know, it's still warm because everything's off of the stove. But it should be served chilled.
You know, Frank, some families like to watch football games. Other families like to travel. Marta's family likes to cook.
Yes.
Because,
we really do.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in her family, this is like the... You know, you think of the Ford assembly line where it was one guy puts a tire, the other guy puts a radiator. In her family, you know, it's like an assembly line and everybody does something in the final product. But Marta, I was going to ask you about Marta, about crema de vie. I'm sorry, crema de vie. I was going to ask you about that because I had some on Thursday and mm-hmm. I thought it was just absolutely delicious. We were at some Cuban friends, and mm-hmm. it was actually delicious. And there were a couple of American friends there who had never tried it, and uh-huh. they thought it was fantastic. Now I don't know how similar this one is to the one you make. It's probably pretty close, I would think. But yeah, I mean they thought it was fantastic. Now does eggnog? I'm not a real knowledgeable about eggnog. Does eggnog also have alcohol?
I think people can put alcohol in it, but I've never tasted, to be honest with you, I've never tasted an eggnog where I've been served it somewhere else that makes me happy. You know, now it's too late for me. I've had my own creme de vie, and that's just a fantastic taste. So I think eggnog is a little too bland when I've had it. And I guess people put alcohol in it. I honestly don't really know that. I'm assuming they do.
When I was very young, I was quite sickly, and the doctor prescribed eggnog for me. And what they put in it at that point was sherry. I've also heard of it being, well, and had it with actually brandy in it. And, of course, in Wisconsin, we're the largest brandy-drinking state in, I think, the world. Here, if you order a Manhattan, and I'm from New York, a Manhattan is actually rye whiskey and sweet vermouth. Here they make it with brandy and sweet vermouth, which would never be acceptable in Manhattan. But,
well, Frank, does the weather have something to do with that?
Oh, I think it has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, the Russians drink a lot of vodka probably because of the weather, I would think. We're talking to Marta Verdes Darby tonight, and we have information about her blog on the show information. Please click on that. It'll take you to her blog and all these recipes and her book and some of her videos. We're hoping to hear from Sonia Martinez. She's running a little bit late. She has her own book called Tropical Taste. And joining us tonight for, we're going to call you El Señor Churro from now on, Frank. we're going to have you on here until you get those churros right.
Well, I'll never know unless.
Oh, boy.
Yes, that's right. That's it. You and Martha need to get together, and she has to do a taste of one of your churros, and she'll tell you within a second whether you're on the right track or not. But, Martha, as you look to the holidays, not only do we have big meals, like I was saying, Noche Buena or December 31st, but I know, the Cuban traditions, you have a lot of office parties, you have a lot of other little parties, and you have a lot of other eating opportunities other than the big meals. So what are some of the other things that you cook for the holidays as well?
I'll tell you, I have an arroz con pollo that we usually serve. That's what we do on Christmas Day now. We make arroz con pollo, and I do it because, again, this is a family tradition that my grandmother had, and it's just basically chicken and rice with, you know, of course, the Cuban spices, the sofrito, which is onion and garlic and bell pepper together, and there's cumin and saffron. It's a beautiful chicken and rice dish, and that always seems to be a hit. It's a very Cuban dish. It's very different from what other people serve, and I guess always rave about it. So that's one of our
favorites. Now, your children, of course, were born here, and so they're, you know, your husband is British, so your children are, you know, a combination Cuban-British, born in the United States.
Yes.
So they've grown accustomed to your food, but what about their friends? You know, when they invite their friends over, and say, "Here, try some of my mother's food." What do their friends say about Cuban food?
Well, I'll tell you, they feel as if they've won the lotto if they get to come over here for dinner, because Cuban food. Even when I serve the simplest thing, which I made last week, of course. I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving, and my sisters were doing all the heavy lifting. They were doing most of the cooking, but I still had people over. We had 32 people for Thanksgiving, but a few days before, we had other guests from out of town, and I served picadillo, which is just basically ground beef with spices, with Cuban spices, and it seemed to me like it was such a simple meal. It's like picadillo and white rice and plantains. And I thought, well, I'm just going to serve it. You know, this seems very sort of pedestrian. And the guests were flipping out. This is the most amazing thing they had ever had. So I learned not to apologize for our Cuban food. It's always good. At least, you know, when I make it, I always get very good reviews.
Well, picadillo is one of the great dishes. I mean, one of the great Cuban dishes. In fact, we had that on Friday. That lady that I was telling you about, where we were visiting their home, she decided to cook picadillo on Friday because on her side of the family, that's what they wanted to eat. And of course, we didn't complain; we would eat it too. But it's interesting about picadillo. For some of the listeners who may not be familiar with it, it's ground beef, much like, I suppose, what you use to make hamburgers, right? And almost like what they put in tacos, but it tastes so different. I mean, it's like, I'm not exactly sure where the Cubans got this dish from, but it is very unique. I don't know of any other kitchen other than the Cuban kitchen that has picadillo. So why don't you talk a little bit about your picadillo?
My picadillo, which actually I have a video. It's on my blog, mybigfatcubanfamily.com. If you look in the search bar and you type in picadillo, P-I-C-A-D-I-L-L-O, I have a video. I recently did a promotional video for my cookbook, and I went up to San Francisco, and I every cook that was promoting their book shared something, and I thought, well, picadillo is what I can make. It's simple, and it's quick, and it's easy, and you start with a sofrito. It's very, very Cuban. It's just basically ground beef with a lot of amazing spices, and I put in, it's kind of a sweet and sour dish because you have raisins that are sweet, and green pimento olives that give it sort of the sour. So anyway, I made my picadillo, which is a really simple recipe. And again, raves. What is this dish? I've never had anything like it. So the picadillo, I think, is one of our staples. Wouldn't you agree, Cibiel?
Oh, I agree. I was just trying. I mean, I agree. It's a delicious dish. My mom makes it quite often. We visit our parents every Sunday, and it's my opportunity to have a little Cuban trip, and she makes picadillo all the time. You know, carne vieja. I mean, she makes all of the Cuban dishes. She rotates so that we don't have to eat the same thing. But picadillo has always been one of my top favorites, and you're right. But I don't know of any other kitchen that has that. Well, did it come from Spain or from the Mediterranean, from France? That's usually the kind of stuff that Sonia would know. But unfortunately, she's not with us.
I was just
going to
say that I miss Sonia right now
because she knows
the history of our food, and she's a wonderful, wonderful cook. So I'm sure that Sonia could tell you some great stories about the history of it. All I know is that I crave Cuban food and I cook it. That's kind of my entire story in a nutshell.
Yeah, but Sonia does have, aside from being a great cook and written a great book about tropical food, she's also quite knowledgeable on the history of these dishes. And it's one of the things, you know, we always enjoy hearing from her. Unfortunately, she's running late. I hope she has a chance to join us tonight. But what else do you put on? I mean, when you have picadillo, normally when my mother makes picadillo, we usually have white rice. Now, she has sometimes avocado, sliced avocado, which I love. And then she puts something on the avocado, some kind of oil, I guess, something on it, some kind of season on it. She also sometimes she'll make beans also, not necessarily black beans, but she'll have some kind of beans to go with the rice. So that's kind of like what I'm accustomed to with picadillo. What about you?
Now we usually add plantains to that. We'll have the picadillo with white fluffy white rice, and then plantains, fried plantains, which the plantain is a banana, of course. And you can see them at the store. Those are the really big, fat, green bananas. And you let them ripen. And when they get very ripe, almost they look black on the outside, is when they're just about right for frying. So you, cook those. You would fry them in hot oil. And people will, that's again, one of those things that's hard to describe about Cuban food. You put bananas on the plate? Well, yes, we do. Just please just taste it, and then we can discuss. And I've never had anybody complain afterwards about the
plantains. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's been my experience. They look at the food a little funny, and they go, what's that? And I say, just try it. Try it. Now, Frank, I have a project for you. Your 2014 project is picadillo.
Okay.
We're gonna make sure that I think that might be an easier one for you to cook and taste, because it'll be, you know, if it tastes like a McDonald's hamburger, you didn't do it right.
There you go.
Now I have one question though, and that's when you say the spices, are these spices that you have to obtain that are particularly grown in a locale? Or, you know, if you say, for instance, cumin or whatever, is it the kind of stuff you can buy right at the supermarket here in Wisconsin?
Yes. You can buy pretty much everything in the grocery store. And it's cumin and bay leaves and saffron and that sort of thing. Although the Goya food people make a really wonderful spice packet they call it completo. And it's a little, just a little envelope, and you just add that to whatever it is you're adding, your salt and pepper and cumin and saffron, and you add that, and they have just the right amount of some magical ingredient. So I found that the last time I was in Miami, and now I like to add the little Goya spice packet to my food. I think you can get that at the Cuban food market online. And because I really can't tell you where to buy Cuban spices in Wisconsin.
What is the spice packet called again? I'm sorry.
It's made by Goya Foods, G-O-Y-A, yes. And they call it completo, like complete, C-O-M-P-L-E-T-O, completo.
Okay, great.
So,
yeah. And Frank, Goya Foods is a great a great Hispanic story. In fact, the founder, just a little side story here, the founder of Goya Foods was a gentleman born in Spain who went to Puerto Rico and settled in Puerto Rico and then eventually moved to New York. And there he started a company called Goya Foods, and basically initially addressing primarily the Puerto Rican market in New York. This would be like in the 1940s. And then when the Cubans came in the 60s, he realized he had a big market. So he began to attend to more and more of the Cubans who were flooding New York and New Jersey and all of that. So Goya Foods is a great, not only a great business story, but they have some wonderful products. Now, I cannot let you go tonight, Marta, without not my favorite part of the meal, but certainly one of them, and that's desserts. So as you plan your holiday cooking here for your family and friends and so on, give us some examples, two or three examples of desserts that you just love to make.
Okay, well, we've already talked about the flan, and the flan is mandatory because, again, it's got the sort of historical significance to my family, and my mother calls herself La Reina del Flan, the Queen of Flan. So we must have, and it's kind of a big thing. It's a big, heavy flan. Anyway, so we always have the flan, and you know that I'm kind of famous for my pastelitos de guayaba, which are guava pastries. And again, I have to confess, because people know this about me, I cheat. I use puff pastry, which you can find at any grocery store in the frozen food section, and I get a bar of guava paste, and I put those together, and I bake it, and it's kind of my superpower, to be honest, to make these guava pastries, pastelitos de guayaba. So that kind of put me on the map originally when people were looking for Cuban food that's easily made at home. So,
well, pastelitos de guayaba, Frank, that is one of the that's what Cubans eat, a lot of that, not just after meals, but very often. I know when I was growing up, we would have that at birthday parties. We would have that just at times, if there was a party that, where you didn't have a full meal, where you had things to munch on, pastelitos de guayaba were also a part of it. Now, what is the difference, Marta, between pastelito de guayaba and empanada? What is the difference?
I would say probably the dough that you use to put them together. The pastelitos should be more of a flaky pastry, where the empanadas it's more of a dough. I don't know if I'm describing that correctly.
Sure.
They're a little bit more dense. They're more like it's got a different consistency. They're a little bit heavier. But the flaky pastry is where you would have is the dessert one. So the empanadas you would fill with some kind of a meat filling like chicken or even the picadillo. That's my leftover picadillos always goes into an empanada. So.
Right. No, you're right. That's how I've tasted many empanadas myself. And to give credit to our friends from Argentina, they also claim that they were the ones who invented empanadas, and maybe they did. Maybe we stole their recipe, but anyway, Cuban empanadas.
That's so likely, yes.
Yeah, we stole it, when the ship was coming down from Spain, it stopped in Havana, and we stole the recipe before it got
that's
to...
How good,
to win.
That's how good food is made. You beg and you borrow and you steal a little and you just make it your own. So
that's right. That's exactly right. Now, I by the way, I said a few minutes ago, carne vieja. What I meant to say was ropa vieja. I apologize.
Ropa vieja.
That's another Cuban dish. Well, one more dessert, Marta. We got a couple of minutes, and I just wanted you to give us one more dessert for Marta's Kitchen this holiday.
Okay, there's another dessert. It's called buñuelos. Are you familiar with the buñuelos?
Yes, yeah. I would like to answer that question by saying, is the Pope Catholic? You know, of course. I mean, that is... yes, I am very familiar with that one. I have a good memory for Cuban food.
Okay, yeah, now, the trickiest part with the buñuelos is getting the flour, the base just right. And now Cubans use yuca and malanga, again, two root vegetables, and then we cook them, and from that we grind them to make a flour, which is the basis of it. But it's sort of a light pastry, and of course it's fried, and who doesn't love anything fried? Wonderful. And it's actually flavored with like anisette, which is a liqueur, anise liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do a syrup over that. And it's kind of, I don't think I'm doing it justice to just describe it to you. Again, it's one of those things, just try it, and then we'll discuss it later.
Yeah, I think we all have to go to your home one day and try all these things. We're going to take you up on this. We're going to take you up on this and say, yeah, we're going to say this, Marta, we're going to come by and try all of these. Of course, there's one last thing for our show tonight, one last thing that we do after a great meal, and that is a little café cubano, a little Cuban coffee. So what's your strategy for that?
Okay, I'll tell you, there's a trick, because you want to make the Cuban coffee, the espresso, with it's got to be sweetened just right. And what you do is you would get the stovetop Cuban coffee maker. I think they call them Italian makers, but, you know, I don't know who started this, the Italians or the Cubans. But it's the stovetop maker where you put water on the bottom and then you drop in the little filter thing and you would put in your espresso and you tighten up the top and it comes through the center of the pot. Now, I have a video on my blog on how to make Cuban coffee. But the thing to get the Cuban coffee just right is the espuma, which is that little froth. And you do that by stirring up the sugar. So you start with a little bit of Cuban coffee. As it starts to come off through the coffee pot, you take just that very beginning and you mix that into sugar. And you use, there's a proportion of sugar depending on how much you're making, but you start using the little bit of coffee into a lot more sugar, and you do it together. You start whipping it up just by hand with a spoon, and we call it taca-taca. So that's the sound that the spoon makes hitting the bowl. So we say, hey, it's taca-taca time, and that's the time to start, it's, you're making your sugar. So you froth up your sugar, and then you add the rest of the coffee, and that sugary froth floats to the top. And again, if you've had a Cuban coffee with the perfect amount of sugar and froth, you've died and gone to heaven.
I think you're exactly right. Well, one last question, Marta. This is not so much about your cookbook or your cooking abilities or churros or empanadas or pastelitos de guayaba. This is a question I've had since the first time I saw the name of your blog. This question, and the question is, what came first, your blog or the movie about my big fat Greek wedding?
Okay, no, we had seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and my family is just like the big Greek family. We live nearby. We are all in each other's business. I have, my sisters and their husbands, and they have, we all have children who are very close. The cousins are very close. My nieces have now had children of their own, so there are the great grands, and the, you know, it's noisy and messy. And my husband comes from a lovely family, but it's very, it's small. It's a lot smaller than mine. So he has one sister who's just great, and mom and dad. And, you know, the first time he came over for a holiday, he said, holidays are a lot more quiet at my house. And like I said, I love my husband's family. The Darbys are fabulous people. It's just a very different thing. My family is exactly like my big fat Greek wedding.
That's right. Well, I just wanted to clarify. I always got that question and never asked you before, but I think every Cuban who's married to a non-Cuban, particularly someone who's not Latin or Spanish, relates to what you just said, because all these other families, when we get together, the Cubans are making all the noise on one side of the room, and these other families are looking at us saying, why do you guys always scream when you talk? You know, why do you guys...
So husband's question a lot was, are they mad? No. We're just having a conversation. But with Cubans, we talk louder than the other person to make ourselves heard. And another superpower that we have is we can follow two or three different conversations at once.
That's right. This great ability. And we do that eating all of the food that you and so many mothers like you prepare. But I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Marta. I'm sorry about Sonia. I knew she was. She might not be. Might be running late. So we'll try to have her back to do another show. It's always a lot of fun. Go ahead, Frank. Did you want to say something?
Can I ask one brief question?
Well,
all of these things we've talked about are rather elaborate recipes. Now, if I were a hungry Cuban and I just wanted a quick snack, what do you have for me?
Okay, I'll tell you, Frank. They sound elaborate,
Frank,
but they're not. So I want you to come over to my blog and look under Cuban recipes, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And even
I will be there.
Okay, and also, Silvia was talking about the ropa vieja. I have a wonderful recipe that you make in a crock pot. So there you go. Now I've modernized the Cuban food for the American kitchen.
Frank, the problem is there's no Cuban McDonald's. There's no Cuban taco.
Right.
So, you know, like if you get a need for a taco, you can just run to Taco Bell, or for a burger. I mean, there's no Cuban like that. I guess there is a Cuban sandwich. You can always go get a Cuban sandwich, but it's not quite the same. As going to McDonald's. But Marta, thank you so much for joining us. Frank, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And again,
it was a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure as always. And Frank, remember, picadillo, that's your New Year's resolution.
That's the next thing I do.
That's right. And again, we salute Sonia. We're sorry she couldn't join us tonight, but we will have another show, and we'll have Sonia back. So good night, Marta, and good night, Frank. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, Silvio. Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. As always, our Cuban food show, and it goes by so fast that I just have time to say goodnight. So thank you so much for listening to our show tonight. Go to Marta's blog and get yourself some of those recipes. Watch some of those videos, and I think you're going to feel a lot better after you're done with all of that. So good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.